Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is J.W. from San Diego.
Thank you. My name is Jan. I'm an alcoholic. Wow, a lot of beautiful people, a lot of cute people, a lot of people I don't know. You know, welcome to the newcomers, and welcome and happy birthday to Alice. You know, my sobriety date is April 30th, 2005, and this is actually not the first time I tried to get clean and sober. The first time I did, I really wanted it, but I stopped going to meetings, I never got a sponsor, and I didn't do the steps. And for those reasons, I went back out and almost died. And it was very serious. And, you know, if it wasn't for this program, I wouldn't be here today. I would be dead. I know that by the age of 20, I would already be dead. So, you know, my childhood, I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember a lot of feelings that I felt, and most of them were feelings of worthlessness and being felt like I was an accident, like I wasn't supposed to be born. And I had a lot of these feelings when I was young, and when I'm like 6, 7, and 8, when you feel these, it really messes with your mind. And as I got older, these feelings evolved to anger and hate. And I hear a lot of stories, and I have never really heard a story of another alcoholic who had rage. And you know, that was my ordeal. I hated the world. I truly did. I hated everyone in it. You know, I hated my family. I hated my life. I hated my friends. You know, and like I said, most of all, I hated myself, and I wanted to die. I truly did. And you know, it was just I wanted everyone to feel my pain and suffering. I grew up, and people thought I was okay on the outside, but on the inside, I just wanted to die. I was decaying, and so, you know, just so you can get an idea of this mentality that I had when I was like 14 and 15, when 9/11 happened, I went back to my house and my dad was talking to me about it, and the whole time I was smiling. And he asked me, "Why am I smiling?" And I looked straight in his face. And I said, "Because this was the happiest day of my life, because everyone is dead." And I was serious. And as you can see, this is a mentality of me. And this, I was in a dark and warped place. And I could have been one of those kids, you know, shooting everyone. I was that close when I think about it now. But by the grace of God, I didn't. And so as I got older, you know, I got into high school and then I got introduced to drugs. And I remember the first time I got high. You know, it took away the pain. It took away the hate. It took away the suffering that I felt. And all left was nothing. And I wanted that. I truly did. I was comfortably numb. And I wanted it that way for the rest of my life. And as we know, the progression of this disease we all know of, that, you know, one thing led to another. And as I got older, as I started going through my junior and senior year, I got into harder drugs, and I became more self-destructive. And I started manipulating more people around me and just started using them. Other than that, I don't remember a lot of my high school. Most of it's a blur. But the one thing I do remember is a month after I graduated, the moment of clarity that I had that we all know of. And with you know, every great story, there's a great woman involved. And this one's no different. And I had been going out with this girl my senior year for about almost less than a year. And for some reason, she stuck with me while I mentally and emotionally abused her. And she would not, like, she stayed. And I had no reason why she would want to be with the monster that I considered myself. And so basically, it was July 6, 2004, and I had done some things that I told myself I would never do. And she found out, and she threatened to break up with me. I was coming down. I was, I owed these people money. And it was just, I don't consider it me hitting bottom, but I consider myself hitting the ground hard enough that it made me realize something was wrong. And so I was crying, you know, sobbing, apologizing, you know, for what I did to her. because I just didn't want her to leave me. And, you know, like I said, I was just apologizing over and over again. And you know what she said to me? And I'm still here, Jay. And it was like that, where that moment of clarity hit me. And I realized something. And I realized that I truly did love this woman, and I wanted to be with her for the rest of my life. And I have all these things going in my mind, seconds, you know. I'm doing these drugs, I got to stop this. I know I owe these people money, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I did something that I hadn't done in a very long time. And I prayed. And I prayed to God for a second chance at life. That's all I did. I asked Him to give me one more chance to do it all over again. 15 minutes later, while I was counting my money, trying to figure out how am I going to pay these guys back, the police come out of nowhere and arrest me and arrest a girl. And basically, they charged me with a Class B felony and 5 years in prison. And I was 18 at the time, right out of high school. And just to get a point where I had finally realized I loved this girl 15 minutes ago. I had never felt this feeling before. And then it was ripped away from me, literally, in handcuffs. And I remember screaming to her, I love you, Aaron, I love you, and remember that. But basically, that later on, that just, you know, kind of ended. And that really hurt bad, because, you know, they always say the first love hurts the worst. And it took me a long time to get over her. But basically, you know, I finally got to see her 3 months later, and everything had changed. You know, she believed that I was still the same guy, but on the inside, I had really changed, and I was really trying to do something different with my life. And if it hadn't been for her caring so much about me, I'd be dead right now, because I just wanted to die the whole time. And so, as I said, I had a Class B felony and looking for 5 years in prison, and I was 18. My life was already gone before it even started. And the whole time, you know, I did not know what to do. My dad was saying that he got me out of bail and he was going to leave, and, you know, and it was, and all I could do the whole time was hope that if I keep doing the next right thing in my heart, that my life was going to get better, that something was going to change. And that's all I had for the longest time, was just hope. And I didn't know what else to do except to just do the next right thing in my heart. And so the year to the date of me getting arrested, my public attorney calls me and says that they're going to dismiss my case because the police officer who arrested me was actually in Iraq and there was no one to testify against me. And there it was. The miracle that I had prayed for over a year, it finally came. And that was divine intervention to the greatest. You know, I can't see any other. You know, a year to the date. And after that, you know, 6 months later, I came out here. I was actually in Missouri living with my father, and I came out here and I started going to college. And for a kid who only wanted the slang for his whole life, I have two associate degrees now, and I'm working on three bachelors. And something that, you know, I believed, this is what I have now, I never imagined it. You know, I have more than I ever thought of. You know, I have great friends. I have a great family. You know, I have a great job. I just got hired with this job that's going to get big in the next year. And, you know, it's, you know, and none of this would have happened if I wouldn't have stopped using and drinking. You know, and, you know, I have to stay in an attitude of gratitude constantly, because I know where I came from. And it was not pretty. And I hated everything, and I wanted to die. And today I have something to live for. And, you know, like I said, an attitude of gratitude. Because, you know, once you start getting that stinking thinking, oh, pity me, that's, you know, it just starts going downhill. And for all of us, we need to be grateful for what we have. Because we all know where we came from. You know, and today I'm working on the steps again. You know, I got a great sponsor who's you know, who's great for me, because he's teaching me to balance. Because I think a lot with my head and not with my heart still. And so he's gradually telling me to, like, balance up on it, you know. Feel, like, what are you feeling? And so, you know, these feelings are new to me still, and I'm still trying to work on them. But now life is so good today. Life is so good. And I'm not saying there wasn't bumps through the way, you know. Like I said, I relapsed. And I started drinking again because I wasn't doing the steps. And for that, I was stabbed. And literally, I almost died. I woke up in the hospital and I thought I was going to die. And all I can do is blame myself for that. You know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if I wouldn't have been drinking and hanging out with old friends, you know, it wouldn't have happened. And that was the real wake-up call again. And I kind of feel like, you know, the first time I tried to get clean, you know, God, like, tried to send me to prison, or God just tell me, well, I'm going to go to prison if I keep doing this. So he throws a rock, and then I start messing up again. And I'm hard-headed, and the only way I'm going to realize anything, you know, if I get hit. And so basically, you know, I got stabbed, and that was the only thing that was going to make me realize that I was fucking up again. And, you know, I hold no resentments to that guy who did that, because, again, he changed my life. And, you know, I didn't actually go to court for none of that. I let him go, you know. I'm like, well, I got my chance to live a better life. I hope you can do yours, you know, do something with it. And, like I said, today is a great life, you know. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, this program, I'd be dead already. I know I would. How much time I got left on this? Man, I've been planning this. I got about a minute. 10 minutes. Time's up. Right on. Well, you know, if I can't... Well, I got one more thing to say. Well, anyways, you know... you know, welcome to the newcomers. You know, this is a way better life. And all the promises that we will read, they do come true if you work for them. They truly do. And thank you. Thank you.